Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our service. Before we continue, let's close our eyes and pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for this time that we have together. Thank you that we know, Lord, you say where two or three are together in your name, there you are with us. And Lord, we thank you that that is why you've given us your Spirit, so that you can be with us always. Even though we are not necessary together, we are together in and through you. And so we ask, Holy Spirit, that you will come and teach us today what is on your heart. Lord, so we humble ourselves, Lord, and we come to you and say, God, show us your ways. Teach us your ways. Guide us into your truth that we may know you more. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm continuing this morning on what we started with last week. And this concept that we have been called to overcome, and I have a little twist in that, this little caption that we know so well. But before we get there, I want us just to read together in Revelation 21 from verse 6. And it says the following, "And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." What a powerful verse. A powerful introduction to this concept that we are called to overcome, and with this, a great promise for those who do. "He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I shall be his God, and he shall be my son." Right from the beginning, we see that God's intent was that we, his children, should overcome. So last week, I mentioned the seven churches in Revelations, where God warns each one of compromise and sin, but then he ends off every time with this powerful statement. He says, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says." It's a powerful statement. And I pray that we too will hear what the Spirit says to us as a church, but also to us as individuals. Because for those who do, there is great reward. And I want us just to listen carefully to the Holy Spirit speaking to us today. And what is this reward for overcoming? Yeah, in Revelation, I'm going to start with the first church, and I'm just going to run through all seven of them, because it's the same pattern over and over again. In Revelation, the first church, chapter 2, verse 7, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." To the second church, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death." To the third church, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. And I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written on that no one knows except he who receives it." To the fourth church, "And he who overcomes and keeps my word until the end, to him I will give power over the nations." To the fifth church, "And he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before the angel." And to the sixth church, "He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name." And then the last church, "To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." What a powerful concept and a powerful promise, an expectation that we should overcome, and with this great promises of great reward and honor. And so powerfully, this last verse, "To him who overcomes, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame." This Greek word of overcoming is nikao, which literally means to conquer, to prevail, to get the victory, to overcome. And the root word we know so well, it is Nike. It literally means victory. And the slogan that goes with it so powerfully, just do it. We are called to overcome, to gain the victory. So just do it. It implies that we are in a struggle and a fight, and that we need to win, prevail, get the victory, and overcome. We read in Revelation 3 verse 21, it says, to him who overcomes, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame. Jesus also had to conquer, to prevail, to get the victory, and to overcome. And so are we. We are meant to overcome. But what exactly are we meant to overcome, and how? In John 16, verse 33, we read the following. These things, Jesus speaking, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. To him who overcomes, just as I have overcome. There are four things in this verse that is so powerful, four concepts. The struggle, the victory, but also the what and the how. In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And what exactly is this world that Jesus came to overcome? And that in itself, to answer that, is a sermon, a couple of sermons all on itself. But in a nutshell, the world that Jesus is referring to gets summarized in 1 John 2, verse 15 to 17 so powerfully. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. The world, in a nutshell, is that what is controlled by sin. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And the master of sin, the one who controls the sinful world, is the devil himself. 1 John 3 verse 7 puts it so powerfully, little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. And for this purpose, the Son of God was manifest, that he may destroy the works of the devil. The devil has been sinning from the beginning. His works and his fruit is sin, and that what supports and promotes and are part of it. But it's for that purpose that the Son of God was manifest, that he came to earth, the incarnation, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Jesus came to overcome sin and death. So powerfully we know this. But that's not all. He came to set us free from the power of sin and darkness, that we can overcome through his strength in us. He came not just to set us free, but to empower us that we can also overcome sin and ultimately death. And 1 John 3 verse 8, it continues, for this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him. And he cannot sin because he has been born of God. What a powerful concept. Now John is not speaking of perfection. It's a play of tenses in the Greek word. It literally means he who has been born again has the seed of God within him, and he cannot continue to sin. Why? Because that is what Jesus came to destroy. And so with him in us, we are empowered to also overcome sin. The rest of John 1 John makes it clear that we are no longer a slave to sin. It doesn't mean we are perfect, but in this process of sanctification through Christ in us, we will overcome sin, and sin itself will become a rare exception in an otherwise holy life. As a matter of fact, that is Romans 6, Romans 8, and Galatians 5. It's a sermon all on its own, and maybe next week I will share around this concept, how to overcome sin in your life. But for now, I want us to understand one of the things that Christ came to overcome and expects us to overcome is sin. How is this possible? Well, you need to wait for next week. The second thing, the other thing that we are called to overcome is trials and tribulations. And we touched on that last week. We are called to overcome tribulation, but also persecution. And I just want to focus on this concept of persecution. We spoke about tribulations last week, but persecution, Jesus warns us of both, that is to come, and that we should endure, stand, and overcome it. In John 15, verse 20, he says the following, "Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also." And to Timothy, Paul writes, "In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." And so we are warned that this is a reality in the life of every believer. Everyone who follows Christ, everyone who wants to pursue godliness in him, will be persecuted. We will face it. But even when we face persecution for our faith, we are called to stand, to endure, and to overcome. This is a reality that every believer will face in one form or the other. It's the parable of the sower in Matthew 13, verse 20. It says, "But he who received the seed on the stony places is he who hears the word and receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles." But Romans 8 encourages us how we will overcome tribulation and persecution. Romans 8 from verse 31 says so powerfully, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God and makes intercession for us. What shall separate us from the love of God? Listen, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, angels nor principalities nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, or any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." This is how we overcome tribulation, persecution, famine, nakedness, distress, the sword. This is how we overcome. Through Christ in us who loves us. That is why 1 John 4 says, "For you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." Revelation 12:11 says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and powerfully they did not love their lives unto death." In the face of persecution, those who overcame the devil were those who were willing to lose their lives for his sake. That is how we overcome the devil, when we do not give in to the persecution that we face because of our faith in God and because of our following His word. That is the end times. There are so many that say that we live in these times, and I want to encourage you that what we're going through now is nothing in comparison to what we are still going to face and a reality for many brothers and sisters in other countries as they choose to follow Christ. And this is preparing us so that our faith may be strong when we too face our share of persecution. And how do we overcome this? In 1 John 2, we read something powerful. 1 John 2 from verse 14, we read the following, "And I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one." The word of God in us enables and empowers us to overcome the devil himself. Thus, the word says, resist the devil, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee to you. How do we submit to God? By our obedience to his word. How do we resist him? By declaring it and not giving in to the threats, the tribulation, and the persecution because of the word. That is how we overcome. Also, Galatians 2 verse 20 powerfully says, gives us insight to how we overcome even in the face of persecution. It says, Paul says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." You see, in the journey of Christianity, it will lead you to a place of understanding and revelation of how great the love of God is for us. How great a sacrifice, a price he paid for us, and how great his promises is for those who endure in him, those who remain in him. The journey of discipleship following Jesus will lead us to a place where Christ becomes everything. And the world and the things in the world becomes awfully dim in comparison to what we have in God. That is how we overcome the world. Why does the world and the things of the world becomes awfully dim? Because the love of the Father is not in the world, and our desire for the love of the Father is greater than that what is in the world. So the world and the things in it becomes awfully dim as I realize God's love is not in it, but here, and I want more of it. And also Jesus so powerfully leads us away from the world. As a matter of fact, he came to save us out of the world so that we can follow him unto God. He leads us like Israel out of Egypt to the promised land. This journey out of the world and ultimately overcoming the world begins with faith. We read so powerfully 1 John 5 verse 4, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world." And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. You see, through faith in Christ, we are born again, and he lives in us. He has given us his spirit that empowers us to overcome. So keep your eyes on him. Keep your faith in him and persevere. Overcome. He will empower you through your faith and your focus and your devotion and your commitment to follow him. He will empower us to overcome the world, the things in the world, the sin, and the devil himself. And ultimately, it will lead to us overcoming death as we rise again with him for eternal life. And so, I want to conclude in 1 Corinthians 15, from verse 57 to 58. But be thanks to God who gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, beloved, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. And now I want to say, just do it. Go Nike from this place, knowing who you are in Christ, that through love and faith in Him, He will empower you to overcome everything in this world so that He may receive the glory for it. May God bless you. Let us pray together. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for your encouragement and your promise, not just to be with us, but to empower us that we also can overcome as you have overcome, so that we may share in your glory. As you say that your spirit testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with you. God, I thank you that even the persecution and the tribulation that we face, you are with us and will empower us. You will give us a way of escape, and you will enable us to get the victory so that you may receive the glory. I pray that for each and every one of us, God, that you will encourage us, that you will prepare us, and that you will make us fearless so that we may overcome even the devil by the word of our testimony, the blood of the Lamb, and the fact that we are not afraid to lose anything in this life, even our own lives, because you are greater than all. In Jesus' name, amen.